prayer. And today we're going to be talking about God's plan for children. And I want to tell you, if you are a parent with children in your home and you're not already hooked into something else on Sunday nights, Bill and I are leading a class called Raising Effective Children in a Defective World. And it's a video series, and it is absolutely excellent. And, you know, there are so many good resources for parents. Why don't we take advantage of that? I know as a parent, I'm a studier, so that came natural for me. And I read every book. I did everything I knew to do to learn how to parent because I didn't come to parenting very well equipped. And so I want to encourage you, join us tonight if you already haven't hooked in somewhere else, because it is just the best material. And what is his name? I just went totally blind. Chip Ingram. Thank you, Sarah. Chip Ingram is the guy that's leading it, and he is just absolutely excellent. So just put that in your memory bank. So let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father, before we begin to just look at your word, we've gathered here this morning, and I thank you for this large group of women that are here. And Father, your word is so powerful, and your word is the answer, and our greatest need is to know it, and to obey it, and to treasure it, and to esteem it. And Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all the wonderful ways in which we have it available to us. And God, coming to Sunday school and studying your word is such a wonderful choice that we make every Sunday morning. I thank you for the women that are here. I thank you for their homes. Father, bless their homes, bless their children, bless their grandchildren. And Father, we ask that you would take this word and help us to be effective communicators of it. Help us to be women who are women who obey your word, who know your word. And Father, thank you for just the opportunity to freely come and study it. Now take this lesson this morning and help us to use it in our lives. And some of us don't even have children in the home anymore. And yet we are around young women who are with their small children. And you call us to be mentors, to give good advice. So help us to know where to take others in Scripture to give them good advice, to show them your guidelines. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, obviously, I'm just going to give you a very cursory lesson this morning. You know, we could teach for months and months and months about children, and there's a lot. So this morning, I'm just going to kind of hit the high spots with you, and we could say the same thing for the wife's role, the husband's role. I mean, we could go into a really in-depth study in all of those areas, but today we're just going to take 1 week and look at God's plan for children. And then next week, we're going to look at parenting. So that's going to be our lesson next week. Now, there's an old Chinese proverb, and this is what it says. One generation plants the trees, and the next generation gets the shade. And there's a lot of truth in that proverb. And so this morning, we ask this question. How can I, as a parent and as a grandparent, plant those trees so that the next generation and the next generation coming after that generation can enjoy the shade of those trees? Well, the answer is go back to the standard of God's Word and say, what does God's Word say? Because God's Word is the thing that we need to know. And Scripture is so very clear on what the Bible has to say, revealing the will of God with regard to our children. Now, jot down this reference, Deuteronomy 6:6-7, and I'm just going to read it to you. And I want you to see that way back in the beginning, when God was forming the nation of Israel and giving his law, this is what he said. He said this to parents, and these words, which I command you this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt diligently teach them to your children. And so our part as parents is really very simple. Teach the Word of God to our children. Teach them Scripture. That is our part. Now, let me give you what God's part is, and you find that in Deuteronomy 5:29. Do y'all need another handout? Okay. Do we have an extra handout? Here we go.
Yeah.
Somebody only has a front
because if y'all have a front, you're in trouble. You need another one if you only have a front.
Good. Now, let me read you God's part. He gave that a little earlier. He gave that in Deuteronomy 5:29. Listen to what God says there. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would hear me and keep all my commandments and keep them always, that it may be well for them and well for their children forever. Now, we want things to go well, don't we? We want things to go well for our children. And God says, if they would only hear my commandments, and if you might treasure them in your heart and obey them, then things will go well for you, and things will go well for your children. And so God is calling us, and He wants us to have a heart for Him and for His commandments. And then He clearly says, now you are to, and I like this word, diligently teach them to your children. And as they learn the Word of God, then they're learning the process by which they are going to be saved. And they're going to come to God. Now, God is calling families, very simply, parents, to teach the Word of God to their children. You want to raise a child who loves God, who serves the Lord, who knows the blessing that comes from obeying God and building your life on God's Word, you've got to start when they're very little and teach them the Word of God. Now, here's another reference I want you to jot down. Joshua 24:15. In this scripture, we see a parent. This parent was making a decision, and he made the right decision in regard to his family. Listen to these verses. It says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served or the gods in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, and here's his decision. What did he say? We will serve the Lord. And that is the first decision that we have to make as parents. Who will I serve? Who will I serve? Am I going to serve the gods of the present age? You say, oh, Teresa, we don't have gods. Oh, yes, we do. I think the biggest god in America is materialism and fighting to get more and more and more. Am I going to serve the gods of this present age? Or am I going to make the decision that I personally will serve the true and living God? And serving Him means that He takes priority in my life. And then I want to make this decision. I will serve Him myself. I will learn His precepts. And then I will diligently teach them to my children. Now, that is the only way to bring the family back to where it needs to be. That's the decision that Joshua had to make. And that's the decision that you and I have to make, isn't it? I've got to choose God's way over the world's way. And you know that world, it's just trying to fit you into its mold. It's trying to fit you into its mold. So it's going to start with a commitment on my part, on my part. Now, when you come to Ephesians 5 and 6, that's just kind of a capsule of God's plan for the family. He touches every relationship. Do you remember last week? It started really back in verse 18. It started back, first of all, if you want to do family God's way, you've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. And that's where He says, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Spirit. And then the next thing you do after you're being filled with the Spirit, and by the way, that's not a one-time deal, that's an everyday deal. Constantly yielding my flesh and yielding myself, and I'm saying, God, I want You to be the dominating force in my life. Just like if I were drunk, drunkenness would influence me and make me act a certain way. If I'm full of the Spirit, that influences me, and I act a certain way. And how do I act? Well, I'm thankful. I'm singing melodies in my heart. I'm joyful. And I no matter what comes in my life, I humble myself under God's hand. And then the next thing was this mutual submission to one another. That's how you do family God's way. And then Paul starts by speaking to the wife first. We looked at her. She's called to humbly subject herself in love to her husband. She's called to make the children and her home the center of her life. And then, we studied last week, God's pattern for the husband. And he's called to have loving headship in which he cares for, provides for, sacrifices for, protects, purifies, and loses himself in giving everything for his wife. And now today we come to the children's responsibility. So let's start by looking in verse 1 of chapter 6. Hey, Kat, glad you're here. We're in Ephesians 6, verse 1. And we need one more handout. Is there an extra one? Okay. Is there one here? Good. Thank you. Gosh, I didn't make enough handouts.
It's a good
prize. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And here's the promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now let me begin by just telling you that children really are a blessing. Amen? Mm-hmm. They really are a blessing. Psalm 127, Psalm 128 say that children are a blessing from the Lord. And happy is the man whose quiver is full. I've got half a quiver. You know what a quiver is? A quiver is 12. And I've got 5, but it's not quite half. They're given by God. They come into your life. They bring fullness. They bring blessing. And God says, now I want you to raise them up to godliness. You know, our children are our greatest opportunity to disciple. Discipling our own children. Now, we are to bring these special gifts to maturity. We have about 18 years to do it. And boy, doesn't it go fast. There are two things we need to teach them according to this scripture. Two things. Number one, to obey. Number two, to honor. It's very simple, but it's very comprehensive. Those two things. Now, we read in Proverbs 22:6 a very general principle from God's Word that if we'll train up a child, you know this verse, in the way he should go, what? When he gets old, he will not depart from it. Now, that's just a general axiom in life, that when you train them up in the things of God while they're little, that training will impact them when they're grown. And that's just common sense. What you do when they're little shows up in adulthood. So we teach our children to obey and to honor their parents. Now that sounds so easy, but it's really not that simple. It wasn't with my own experience with children. Now I have 5, and I'm telling you, each one of them is so different. They're all different personalities. They're all gifted in different ways. Some are headstrong. I've got 2 very, very headstrong. One is, he wins the prize. He is the most headstrong child that ever has been born. And then I'm looking at my 15 grandchildren, and I'm just looking at all of them. And, you know, I just feel for their parents because I know right where they are and what they're dealing with. And I get to just pop in and pop out. That's the best part of being a grandparent. Amen. And let me tell you why it's so difficult just to teach them to obey and honor. Those two things, that's it. But why is it so hard? Here's the first reason why. Because of the curse inside. The curse inside. You know, it's really the same reason it's hard for a wife to submit. It's the same reason it's hard for a husband to express loving leadership. It's because we're cursed. And you know what? As soon as they hit the world, and you know little Lucy hit the world Wednesday morning, and you know what? When she arrived, she was a little sinner. Already, they're marked by sin. It's just as cute as they are, as cuddly as they are, everything, they still have a bent toward disobedience. You don't have to teach a child how to disobey, do you? They come knowing how to disobey. You don't have to teach a child how to lie. You have to teach them how to do what? Tell the truth. Because they come with that bent. So they have to be taught through painful life lessons. Now, I meant to bring it and I left it on the counter, but when they were little, I had a helper in my house and it was my wooden spoon. And I carried it in my back pocket. And I used it a lot. And, you know, it got to where I just pulled the spoon. And that worked. You know, wooden spoons are wonderful. I used to have like hundreds of them, every room, everywhere. Now, here's the next reason why it's difficult. And it's the curse inside, and then listen, it's the curse outside, too. Not only do we have just that natural bent, but then there's the whole curse in the world system that's all around us. I mean, it's so easy for them to get overexposed to sin. Listen, in music, in literature, in movies, on the TV. I mean, they're exposed to all kind of wrong lifestyles, all kind of thinking patterns way before they're able to deal with them. The materialism in America. I mean, Sarah Sutton just had a birthday party, and she got this some kind of something. It was moon sand or some kind of crazy something. And Sunday said, oh my gosh, we had to get that because she's seen it on TV and she's begged for it. You know, TV is so influential. And it didn't even look that good. I thought, oh, that TV, you know, that's going to be messy all over the house and it's not going to be good. But she had to have it. And there are 200 hours of ads per year on television. 22,000 commercials that are all directed to make us discontent. Our society teaches rebellion, and our society says the most important thing is to have self-esteem and be fulfilled and all of this. An average child watches, this blows me away, 30 hours of TV per week until they are graduated from high school. That is 20,000 hours of television. And, you know, TV was okay when I was growing up, but TV now is not okay. It's pumping out an anti-God lifestyle. Now, here I am teaching my children about God. That's my main thing. And I have the TV on all the time, and it's unteaching everything I'm trying to teach. Here's a third reason why, and I just put, this goes sound kind of crazy, but then I'll just explain it. What comes upon them. And I want to take you back to a verse we looked at last week. It's in 2 Timothy 3:1. Don't go there, I'm just going to read it to you. 2 Timothy 3:1. And it says, now realize this, Timothy, that in the last days, do you remember this verse last week? Difficult times will come. And it's going to come upon us, and it's coming upon our children. And it's a time that's unique in regards to corruption and evil. We're living in that day. And here are some things that it says. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers. Listen to this. Disobedient to parents, arrogant. And so we see that one of the characteristics of the last days is this defiance toward parents. And society tolerates it. And it even teaches them that it's okay to rebel. I mean, I personally believe that teenagers don't have to rebel. I really believe that. But we've bought a sale of goods that's just normal. Rebellion is normal. I don't believe children have to rebel. I mean, we live in a society that's just passing out condoms. You can have an abortion, you don't even tell your mother. They don't require the parents to know. And they also do not want parents pushing off on their child their religious convictions. Here are some more things. They're rebellious, undisciplined, selfish, sexually stimulated, angry, bitter, frustrated, destructive. And that's the product of our society with children that are disobedient to their parents. Another thing it says there in 2 Timothy 3 is that they are without natural affection. Now, what does that mean? That means that they don't have normal love of family. Just that normal love of family. And another thing it says in 2 Timothy 3:1 is that they are unloving. That means without a natural family affection. I want to give you a quote I read this week, and I thought it was good. It's not from a Christian. It's really from a human viewpoint. His name is Dr. Michael Novak. He wrote this in a magazine article. This is what he said. Clearly, the family is the critical center of the social force. It is the seedbed of economic skills and attitudes toward work. It is stronger. It is the stronger agency of educational success than the school. It's a stronger teacher of religious imagination than the church. Political and social planning in a wise social order begins with the axiom, what strengthens the family strengthens society. Now that's a true statement, isn't it? Even when poverty and disorientation strike, as over the generations it often does, it is the strength of the family that most defends individuals against alienation, lassitude, or despair. The world around the family is fundamentally unjust. The state and its agents and the economic system and its agencies are never fully to be trusted. One unforgettable law has been learned through all the disasters and injustices of the last 1,000 years. And I love this. If things go well with the family, life is worth living. When the family falters, life falls apart. And I think that is so true. The family is the very basic unit of society. And I think he has it exactly right. The only hope to shape the next generation to come is to submit to what the Word of God teaches about the family and raising children. And it's not really that difficult. It doesn't take a PhD. It doesn't take years and years of training to figure it out. You don't have to have a lot of techniques. All it says is this: teach your children to obey you and respect you, and that is the sum of it all. Now let's look at some of the words in these verses. Let's look at the word children. Who is that referring to? Who is that talking about? Is it just talking about little children? No. It's talking about, in fact, no age is in view here. It's talking about from birth all the way to being young people, as long as they are under your parental control and care. The whole sum of it, during that time, their self-centered depravity has to be harnessed, and obedience is the key. They must learn what is right, and they must be taught to obey. Now, what does the word obey mean? It's an interesting word, and it means this. It means to get under and listen. To get under and listen. Now, I just want to share with you how serious children obeying their parents is. I'm going to take you back and give you some scriptures, and I'm going to take you to Exodus 21. Don't go there, just let me read it to you. Exodus 21, and I'm going to go kind of starting with verse 15 and look at verse 17. And this is back when God was just forming the nation of Israel. And he was very serious about his law. And this is what he said in verse 15. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. You know what? That's some serious respect right there. And if a son or a daughter got angry and struck their parent, they took that child out and they stoned that child. Now, I'm going to tell you what. They didn't have a lot of rebellious teenagers in the land of Israel. You hit your father, you hit your mother, you're dead. Listen to verse 17. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. I mean, you killed your children who didn't show respect to their parents. Disobedience, disrespect, punishable by death. And that's how serious an issue it was with God, because he was so serious about passing the law on to the next generation, that righteousness on to the next generation. And we were in the very beginning stages of it. And they had to learn to control their children. And their children had to learn to control themselves and their sinful nature. Now, obviously, God in His mercy and His grace, when you come to the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, you don't see that command there. I'm so glad. But at the very first of the foundation of establishing a people and giving them His law and wanting that law preserved and passed from generation to generation, God wanted those parents absolutely committed to self-control and righteousness in their children. So, what is the child's responsibility? Two words, obey and what? Honor or respect. Now, when you go to Luke 2:52, and don't go there, I'm already to you. Children are deficient in four areas as child. Let me tell you where they are. Mentally, physically, spiritually. Somebody doesn't have a back. And socially. Listen to Luke 2:52. You'll hear every one of those areas. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom. What's that? That's mentally. And stature. What's that? Physically. And in favor with God. That's spiritually. And man. That's socially. He grew as a little child. And we want our children to grow mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially. Because when they get here, they don't know anything. They're lacking in every one of those areas. And we've got our work cut out for us as parents and grandparents. We must create an environment where they are going to develop in every one of these areas. We want to stimulate them mentally in the truth of God. And physically, we want to give them good food so they can grow up. And socially, we want to teach them how to love others and how to be servants. And spiritually, we want them to be confronted with their sin and bring them to a place where they repent and they're saved and put their faith in Jesus. And that's the song of parenting right there. Now that really, this pattern really is going to yield wonderful results. And once again, you don't have to have a PhD to do it. So our goal is to bring our children to the place where they are obedient and where they honor and respect us. And the ones who do that have a great blessing promised to them. And when I taught in the youth department about 20 years. And this is what I would tell the children in the youth department. There is only one thing God says to children in Scripture. Only one thing. And this is your one responsibility. And that is to obey your parents. That is the only command in Scripture that is directly given to children. Now, isn't that amazing? And you know what? If you will obey your parents, are you going to get involved in sexual activity? Just go ask your mom. Mom, would you mind if tonight I do this? What's your mom going to say? You are going nowhere tonight. Mom, would you mind if I went to a party and got involved in drinking? What's your mom going to say? No way. Mom, what if I just tried to smoke a little marijuana? It's just a little. What's your mom going to say? No. If I'll just obey my parents, that is going to be the thing that's going to protect me. They're going to be the guardrails through life. And that's what I would tell those teenagers. Now it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. What does that mean? Obey your parents in the Lord. Well, that means you do it gladly and you do it joyfully because your parents are teaching you the truth of God. Do you know that God mediates to children through the parents? Parents are like God to children. They are authority. And you are to be almost like God to your children. You're guarding and you're doing and you're caring for your children. And you're bringing them to a place where God will take over and He will be the one that is parenting them. Now, why does it say, children, obey your parents in the Lord? It says, for this is right. This is right. It's right. Why are you going to do it? Because God said, do it. And God wrote the book on right. You want to know what's right? Say, what did God say about it? God said it's right. He is the one that has established what is right. Apart from Him, we can't know what's right. And so we're going to teach our children. We do it because God says so. Now I'm going to read them about it. I'm going to model it for them. I'm going to live it out. I'm going to teach it to them verbally. And so that's my role as a parent. That's my role as a parent. You know what I'm going to tell them? You know what I want you to do? I want you to obey Mommy. Because when you're obeying me, it makes God so happy. Because that's what God says for you to do. Look what you did. You obeyed me. Oh, God, you're so happy with who else? Because that is a tremendous concept. If you can teach your child that obeying Mommy is pleasing God. And if you don't obey Mommy, God's not happy with that. That is not pleasing to God. And you're teaching them respect, and you're teaching them how to honor God. That's a tremendous thing to do as a parent. And they need to know the implications of disobedience. In Mark 10, Jesus picked up the little children. He loved them. He blessed them. He brought them to Himself. And He loved them. Now, this is what I want you to see about the two words, obey and honor. Obey is the action. Honor is the attitude. Obey is the action. Honor is the attitude. Sam, would you take out the trash for me? Sure, I'll take it out. 10 minutes later. Sam, would you take the trash out for me? Sure, I'll take it out. 10 minutes later. Sam, that trash still isn't out. I'm going to get it, Mom. Sam, I want you to do it right now. Okay! Now, that's the attitude. But I have to stop right there, so hold it. We've got to talk about that attitude. Because not only does God want you to obey me, He's interested in your attitude. You've got to do it with a respect. So I'm teaching action, and I'm teaching attitude. Obey is the outside. Honor is the internal. What does honor mean? It means to value at a high price. And so what God is telling parents, children to do is put a high price on your parents. Understand they're your treasure. They're your treasure. They're valuable to you. Now, one more thing I want you to see here. This is the first commandment with the promise. What's the promise? That it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Isn't that cool? Back in Exodus 20, that this was the commandment that had a promise that goes with it. So you know what I'm going to tell my children and my grandchildren? Do you want to have a happy life? Do you want things to go well with you? Do you want to have a full life, a long life, a blessed life? Then you need to obey Mommy and honor Mommy and Dad. They need to know that. They need to know that. Proverbs says this. By the way, Proverbs is for parents. Most of Proverbs are parents speaking to their children about things that they need to do in life and not do in life. And this is what Proverbs says. A child left to himself brings grief to his mother. It says this. He that begets a fool does it to his sorrow. The father of a fool has no joy. He is a calamity to his own father. It says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it out. All the wholeness of relationship starts right there in the parent-child relationship. Now, it says two things there that I want you to write on your handout. God is saying there will be a quality of life and there will be a quantity of life. Things will go well with you and you'll live long upon the earth. You'll have a rich, joyous, happy, peaceful, rewarding life, and that's blessedness. And not only that, you'll live probably a lot longer because of obedience. We all know that disobedience sometimes can shorten a life. So the plan is clear. Children obey, children honor. And God is going to bless you and give you. I read a story. I want to give a tragic story and a good story. Which one do y'all want first? Let's have the tragic one first. Then we'll end on the good. This child was born on November the 12th, 1934. He was born to a 16-year-old girl named Kathleen Maddox. He was entered into the ledgers as No Name Maddox. He was a classic abused child. He was left by his mother for days during the first years of his life. In 1939, his mother was arrested for armed robbery and sentenced to 5 years in the penitentiary. When she returned, No Name was 8 years old. His life became a long line of rundown hotels and brutal uncles who came to live with his mother, who drank very heavily. When he was 12, his mother decided she wanted to place him in a foster home. But since there was not one available for him, he was sent to the Gabalt Home for Boys in Indiana. It was the first home in a long line of progressively more restrictive institutions. After 10 months at Gabalt, he ran away, and he ran to his mother. But his mother rejected him. And so then he drifted into a life of crime. At 13 years of age, he was caught for armed robbery and sentenced to an institution from which he escaped. At 16, he had a long series of crimes under his belt. Finally, in federal prison, he was homosexually attacked and raped. At 17, he himself pressed a razor blade against a fellow inmate's throat and raped him. He was transferred again and again and again and classified as very dangerous with a long record of violent activity. Finally, at the age of 33, he was released from Terminal Island Prison in California against his wishes. He had become obsessed with the satanic. He told his jailers that prison was his only home. Please do not release him. No Name Maddox is better known as Charles Manson. Did you know that story? At one point, he was somebody's tender newborn baby, just like my little Lucy. She's so blessed. Her parents are so good. You know what they do? They have dinner together every night around the table. Now, that's unheard of in today's day. She cooks a meal every night, and they sit around. I'm just amazed. I'm like, gosh, Estelle, this is so cool. But he was somebody's tender baby. Do you ever just ride along and see people that are on the side of the road and they're hitchhiking and they just look so down and out? And you know what I always think when I see them? That was somebody's little baby. And how did they get to this place? Here's my good story. Have you heard of Jonathan Edwards? Jonathan Edwards was the only son among 11 children. He was the recognized leader of the Great Awakening in America. His godly life and writings helped to usher in the great missionary movement of the 19th century. 1,400 direct descendants of Jonathan Edwards were traced to determine their influence in shaping early American history. Among those descendants were the following. Three college presidents, 65 college professors, 100 lawyers, 30 judges, 66 medical doctors, and 80 holders of public office, including 3 senators, 3 governors, and 1 vice president of the United States. Whatever the size of your family, God wants fathers to train up their children and their grandchildren in the wisdom of the Word, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. And that's Psalm 78:6. Parents are so, so key. Teach your child about God and about His Word, and do it all the time. Do it as creatively as you can. And then you make him, while he's little, in your home, you will obey me while you're in my home. Teach them to respect. Have consequences when they don't. And you do it all in an environment of the sweetness of the love of Christ that's pouring out of your heart. And if you do that, your children will be your joy. Your children will be your joy. Now, next week, we're going to talk specifically about parenting. And I'm going to bring a lot of books to show you that I've got that I want to suggest for parents in here, for your grandparents. And I'm looking forward to teaching that. Let's pray together. Father, we're so challenged by your word. Your word just is so plain and so clear and so simple, and yet it's so hard because, Father, we're fallen. We lived in a cursed world, and we're cursed in and of ourselves. And our only hope is to be filled with your Spirit. Our only hope is to let you work in us and give us the grace to know your word and to walk it out, to teach it diligently. And that gets so tiring, but day in, day out, over and over. It's not something we teach once and our child says, oh yeah, I get it. It's something that we have to teach over a period of 18 years over and over, raising them up in the discipline and the admonition of the Lord. So Father, I pray for the parents in this room who are training their young precious children. Father, bless them, strengthen them, fill them with your Spirit. And then those of us who are grandparents, strengthen us, fill us with your Spirit, that we might plant trees that will shade the next generation. There's so much hope. As long as your word is here, there's hope. There's hope. And so, Father, use this time to really encourage us and strengthen us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week.